My name is June Squibb, and here is how I say buttholes.
Grown up woman. Grown up woman.
Hi, it's Andrea Savage, and you're listening to Andrea Savage, a grown up woman, hashtag buttholes.
With Tony Thaxton.
You just interrupted. I was about to say, and I'm here with the delightful Tony Thaxton.
You can still say it. I'll let
you. No, because you ruined it.
And
what you did wasn't delightful, so then I'd be lying.
Wouldn't be the first time.
What?
I don't know.
What? Tony, this podcast has been out now for a little bit.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. It's been fun. People seem to be enjoying it. I like when I see some occasional comments that you need to be nicer to me. That always feels good.
I feel like there's been one of those.
I don't know. I've definitely seen at least two.
Okay. Well, that's nothing. I know that we keep telling people to go on to Apple Podcasts and rate and review the show.
And
which people have been doing it.
There's a lot of reviews.
There are a lot of reviews, and they're so lovely, and I am reading them. One that I read this morning that made me laugh from Stu RTGB.
Okay.
The title was, "You Saved a Life Today." And then it said, it's just a little concerning. Andrea, this podcast kept me from murdering anyone who crossed my path while I was shoveling snow on Halloween. I often listen to your podcast or watch I'm Sorry and try to pull your jokes off as if I'm as funny as you. Doesn't work out. Please come to Milwaukee. I don't know exactly what you'd be doing here, but please come. I don't know why this one really... First of all, if that was the only thing keeping you from murdering someone... You are on the edge.
Yeah.
And you should check yourself in somewhere, Stu.
Mm-hmm.
RTGB.
Yeah. If that is your real name.
I assume it is Stuart Chikabe. The fact that he almost murdered someone is alarming. But I also like inviting me to Milwaukee and then being like, I don't know what you'd be doing or why, but please come.
Well, I've got great news for Stu.
Uh-huh.
I'll be in Milwaukee with Motion City Soundtrack in February.
What is happening? Tony, what is happening?
I'm looking to get murdered.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm starting to see an angle that I hadn't considered before. Stu, DM me. Slide into my DMs. One thing that I feel like, and so, yeah, there's, we'll keep reading some, but there's one from Lenny Blad H saying, I would be more excited to meet Andrea Savage than I am to meet my unborn child. That's how much I love her. Don't tell my husband.
Wow.
So
I don't know what to add to that.
I'm going to add, Lenny, does not sound like things are necessarily going great with your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I would consider getting out now. Right before you have a baby is a good time to get out.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend if it's that bad to... bring a child into the mix.
Mm-mm. If you can't confess to your husband that you love a stranger who tells dick jokes more than your unborn child, then what do you have? You've got nothing.
No. You've got Netflix, it sounds like. They watch a show on Netflix.
I got it.
Or on Apple Podcasts. Rate and review.
I don't know what's happening to you today. What I was going to say is people have, it's been so fantastic. It really, honestly, not being joking around, like it makes my day, like to read.
It's very nice.
Read what people are saying and enjoying it. The one thing is on our website, asavagepodcast.com, there is a phone number there where you can call and leave a message for us. And only very few people have done it thus far.
Really?
Yeah. I'm waiting for, like, the drunk phone call that we can, like, play on the air.
Yeah. I forgot all about the phone calls because, we haven't done them.
I know. So, again, asavagepodcast.com. There's a place you can leave us some messages.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio?
Yes?
Does anyone call you Antonio?
No.
Great.
Well, no. So, I think that was my name in Spanish class in high school.
Of course
Does that
it
count?
Was.
Yeah.
Antonio.
Yeah.
It does count, and right. I will ask everyone from this point on to only refer to you as Antonio.
I mean, all right.
June Squibb is our guest on the podcast today.
That's true.
Now, this was recorded previously, this one. You were not there for June Squibb.
I was not. I was out of town. I don't know what happened to my voice there. I was out of town is what I was trying to say.
Yes, you were out of town. I'm bummed that you missed June Squibb.
Yeah, she seems delightful. Who doesn't like a nice old lady? That sounded weird, but I meant it nice.
There's something about the way you say things that
I know,
are nice,
you tell me every fucking episode.
But honestly, there's some, like, it sounds like you're being patronizing when you say nice things.
Yeah, because I, you know, you want the truth?
Yes, always.
I think I suck at being sincere. And like, even if I mean it, I have a hard time, like it feels
weird.
Yeah, and so I think I...
do you want to try it again?
No, I don't.
I'm sad that you missed June Squibb.
Me too. She seems...
She seems
very, like a very nice woman.
Oh, that was hard to watch. She is turning 90 this year, and she is one of the coolest women that I know. People ask sometimes, like, who inspires me? June Squibb is a woman that inspires me. She's turning 90 this year. She's so comfortable with who she is. She's been pushing herself, trying new things for decades and decades and decades. She's so quick-witted. She's so funny. But she's also a together lady.
Yeah.
And she is, I've worked with her twice. She was in the pilot of I'm Sorry. She played Diane, the woman who swears at me at the dance class. And also we were in the movie Summer 03 together. Her biggest success, by the way, like commercial success, she was already 80. She was nominated for an Oscar for Nebraska.
Oh, was
that Alexander Payne movie with Will Forte?
Yeah, I like that movie. Yeah.
She was fantastic in that. She was in her 80s.
Yeah.
She's a fucking inspiration.
That's pretty, yeah. Just to even want to still be working at that point in your life is pretty great.
By the way, just to arrange to have her come here, she was like, oh, I'm shooting this movie with Adam Sandler in New York. Then I'll be back for a couple days, but then I'm going to go do a show, a live show in New York theater.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can make it work. I'm like, this woman is everything.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. I'm very excited. And you know, we sort of talked about before, but like we had Joey King earlier in the season, who's 20, and now we've got June Squibb, who is literally the perfect example of being a grown-up and not being fucking lame.
Yeah.
I am very excited for people to listen to this. She reveals some saucy details, not as many as I would have preferred.
You want to redo it?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like... She was keeping a couple things close to the vest, which I did not care for. All right. Let's not fuck around anymore, Tony.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
June Squibb. June Squibb. My heart is just like open of happiness seeing your face show up today. We've worked together now twice, but you were on the pilot episode of my television show. And what I don't think people know is I wrote you a letter. I did not know you. And I literally wrote a letter saying I'm trying to make my dreams come true and create this character about a mom who's nuanced and this and that. You're the person I thought of in this dance class scene. I'm sure you're going to say no, but I have to ask you. And next thing I knew, you're like, yeah, I'm in. And that, you know, you signing up to do it and other people like that is the only reason that my show like made it and got picked up.
It was a great idea.
Well, thank you. Finally, one person. No, but there's great ideas that nothing ever happens.
That's true.
I mean, you just made my dreams possible. So I will forever be grateful to you. And that's as nice as I'm going to be to you. So don't get used to it. Do not get used to it.
No, I won't.
Please. Now, first of all, every guest who's on there has to, not has to, gets to say a sentence. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you to, you know, jump on in.
Right in.
Yeah.
My name is June Squibb, and here is how I say buttholes.
Now, do you, I think the word buttholes has a certain magic to it. Do you also agree with this?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think?
Well, because it tells exactly what you think of someone.
Right? I also think there's no way to be mature and say buttholes.
I disagree. Yeah.
Okay, June. So mature in what way?
Well, you can be mature and say buttholes. What difference does it make?
You're right. But you're never going to, I guess I sit there and I go, other swear words, you'd be like, you're an asshole. Like, or, you're an asshole. It can go different ways. Mm-hmm. If I said to someone I was annoyed at being like, you are a butthole, immediately they would have to laugh, right?
Oh, maybe not.
God, I love this, June. You're right. Okay.
I mean, if it made them mad, they're not going to laugh at you.
But who's going to be mad at being called a butthole?
Well, again,
I love that June is like, butthole is more serious than you think.
Yes.
Have you ever called anyone a butthole?
I don't think so. That's not a word I use. I use asshole.
Who's the last person you called an asshole?
President Trump.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's just on the reg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anyone in life that you really like in front of them recently? Like anyone?
I don't think so. Yeah. I've called people assholes, but I don't think so recently.
What person, like what scenario got June Squibb so mad that you were like, you're an asshole? Was it in work setting or like, was it in traffic?
Probably a relationship.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when are we talking?
Quite a while ago.
When was your last relationship?
Well, my husband died in 99 and I haven't really had a relationship since.
You have not?
No.
Have you dated at all?
A little.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you meet people?
At work,
yeah,
where I live,
mm-hmm.
That's basically okay. It.
I will say that you are kind of the dream career for any, I would say, comedic actor or actress. Mm. Because you're turning 90 this year, right?
Yeah, in November 6th.
November 6th. What are the plans for the birthday? Anything?
Yeah, my son.
Okay.
And some friends are getting together and they're going to throw a big party.
Well, I assume my invitation
is on the way.
Is on the way because I will say I have checked my mail and I have received nothing. Now, when you say a big party, is that 20 people? Is that 150 people?
About 100 people.
Okay. Well, then I feel like even more offended. Mm. You could have said, no, it's intimate. It's 20. And I would have been like, all right, I give that to her. But, okay, so you're having a massive party with everyone you've ever met or worked with, except me.
The invitations haven't gone out yet.
Good cover. But you are turning 90 this year. And, you know, the light theme of this podcast is just because, you know, you're technically a grown person doesn't mean you have to be fucking lame.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the first person when I was doing this that I thought of. I was like, I've got to get June in here because you are the quintessential. You've never stopped being funny and edgy and pushing the envelope and cool. And like, do you sit there and go like, shit, I fucking crushed it. Like, do you sometimes just sit there, like, patting yourself on the back going, no, June, you are nailing this.
No, I don't do that. I sometimes all at once realize that people around me enjoy having me there. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think at my age, that's something.
But also, you work more than almost anyone I know.
I work a lot.
You work constantly.
Yeah.
Just like when we emailed about this, you were like, well, I'm playing Adam Sandler's mom, so I got to go back and forth doing that. And then I'm starting shooting a movie based on this show. And then I'm, oh, now I'm doing a 5 episodes of this TV show that just happened. How, I just, do you revel in the fact that you just now get offered work?
I don't revel in it. I enjoy it. Yeah. And it's nice. I mean, you know, it's what I do.
Yeah.
I never think of it as any more than this is what I've done my whole life, practically. And this is what I do.
Were you ever, though, worried that, like, okay, this is all fun and we get to be all loose when you're younger, and then I'm going to have to grow up and do something more practical?
Never.
That's amazing.
I never thought about that.
So you started in theater, right? Mm-hmm. And you went straight to New York, or?
No, I went to the Cleveland Playhouse for 5 years, regional theater.
And what was your first show there?
I can't remember. I remember doing Cabell My Fancy, an old Broadway show that they were revived. This was in the 50s.
I know. So what was the role? What does?
One of the high school girls, I think it was, or college girl.
Now, we've done some research, and we read that you, I think it was probably a little older than this, but you would, on your downtime, model for the covers of romance magazines?
Yes.
Romance novels.
I did. To make money New York.
Yeah. So were you kind of throwing it out there? Were you?
I was a bimbo.
Were you?
Sure.
This is what I've been so polite sort of getting to this. All I wanted to know is you mentioned in one article, you were like, you said, this was after you were divorced. I had 7 years as a single young woman in New York before I married my second husband. What was happening?
Oh, you don't want to know.
June, I think you know me well enough to know I very much want to know. What, like, when you say you're a bimbo, like, what was that? Because I wish I had been sluttier. I wish I'd bimboed out a little bit more in my youth. Well, it's one of my largest regrets.
I'll tell you, being a blonde, I bleached my hair, and I was every shade of blonde you could possibly be. Uh-huh. And that just says bimbo to a lot of people right off the bat. Yeah.
Now, bimbo, this is my other thing, is when you think of people, like my mom grew up in the 50s, 40s, 50s, mm-hmm. and she was such a good girl. Like, she has had sex with 3 people. She's been married to all 3 of them. That's what it is. Sorry, Mom, if I just outed your sex life. But I feel like people had to have been having sex, more sex than this, right? Or did people really wait till they got married? What? I don't believe that everybody was waiting.
Oh, God, no. People didn't wait until they got married.
Thank God. Okay. This is going into every fantasy that I've had about this time. Yeah. So you are on the stage, single, mm-hmm. posing for romance novels. What are the poses? What poses did you feel like worked the best? Was there a head thrown back?
No, I mean, they were not pretty.
What do you mean they weren't pretty?
They weren't artistic.
What were they?
They were just shots. I was usually in bed with somebody.
Were you dressed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't nude. That's a whole other thing.
Okay. All right. Fine. Listen, you're the one who said you were bimboing around. I don't know where this started and where this stopped. So you're in bed, but you have some clothes on.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to look like, what's the look on your face you're supposed to be getting?
Horrified a lot of the time.
Like something terrible's happening in bed?
Yeah.
Like some sort of assault?
These were criminal magazine. These were magazines about true crime and all that business.
Oh, I thought these were romance novels.
No.
So you had to get into a bed and pose as if you've been sexually assaulted?
Yeah.
June, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. And there was big business?
It wasn't big business.
But enough that it kept you in pantyhose.
Yeah. It kept me, you know, with money when we needed it.
All right. So did anyone ever recognize you from the cover of any of them?
I don't think so, because this is before anyone, you know, knew who I was.
Okay. Is there a way I could get my hands on any of these?
I have some.
Do you?
Yeah. I have one, I think.
Of you being sexually assaulted? No.
But it's like, you know, this horrified look on my face and all that. Yeah.
This is blowing my mind in so many ways.
It's funny because it's just something I did to make money, you know.
I get it's just the concept that, like, because when I read it, I was like, oh, she's like her head thrown back. She's just finished
romance
intercourse.
No.
And it's like, or you were just, your bodice just ripped open. I didn't realize it was that someone has broken into your apartment. And
well, they were all different things.
Okay.
You know.
Were some of them not in bed?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one I have that I remember, I was just standing there.
And somebody's coming at you with a weapon?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Okay. But it was always a sense of fear.
Yeah. A lot of it. Because they were crime stories.
They were,
true crime.
It said romance novels. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. So you're single in New York. Living your best life.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say you were living your best life, or were you like, I gotta settle this down?
No, I was having a great time.
And was it girlfriends? Would you be living with girlfriends? Like,
no, I always lived alone, except when I was married.
And your first husband, you guys got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what did your parents think of this? Of your rousing life in New York, living alone.
Oh, they never approved of anything I did anyway. So it didn't make any difference.
Okay. So I don't know. I feel like you are, I don't want to say ahead of your time, because I feel like you just have always been you from so young.
Mm.
Do you feel like you've been comfortable in your own skin from been like accepting of who you are as a person?
I think so.
Where do you think that came from?
I think I had to sort of make my own decisions and take care of myself, basically, emotionally anyway.
Okay.
So I think I did.
Yeah.
It was either the sink or swim.
Yeah.
And so I swam.
So you swam. And I mean, you swam with apparently lots of fish.
Yeah.
Do you have a past relationship in your mind, or someone you met where you're like, if I re-met them right now, it could be 60, 70, 80 years ago. If I re-met them right now, I think we could have a great love affair.
Sure.
Would you like me to contact any of them?
No, they're all dead.
Oh, boy. Okay. Every single one of them?
Well, probably not. But the ones I know some of them are.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And we will be right back. Tony.
Yes?
Do you spend a lot of time in your bathroom?
What's a lot of time?
Like, do you consider it somewhat of an oasis when you have to go to the bathroom? Are you like, you know what? I'm going to take my time and enjoy myself.
If I'm certain, every now and then, if I'm in the right mood.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there's something that I recently found out about called Tushy.
Of course.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know why they would reach out to me. It makes absolutely no sense. And it is basically, it's like a bidet that you clip to your existing toilet and it will spray your butt completely clean, not with toilet water, with clean water.
Mm-hmm,
you attach it, there's installation instructions, but you attach it to there. And it is a pretty exciting thing to do for your butt,
I'm going to
say.
Of all the things to do for your butt, I think this is high on the list.
This is very high on the list.
I have used I can't say for sure that it was Tushy. I didn't check the label. But I have used this type of product before, and I'm a big fan.
I think that we also use too much toilet paper and wipes. And I'll tell you right now, I have a thing with wipes.
Good
just,
or bad?
Bad.
Okay.
I think they clog toilets. I think it just seems like too much waste. Also, just personally, I don't love going to someone's home and being invited into their powder room or the bathroom that's designated for guests and seeing a big thing of wipes.
Yeah.
On the back of the toilet.
I understand that.
It makes me just think everyone's shitting the whole time. I don't know. I'm just like, why do we need to do that? Just have a bidet attachment.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to use as much paper.
I bet
way better for the environment.
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
But I bet I know why that they're not doing this.
Why?
They think it costs hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars.
I do think that that is true. I think that the idea of getting a bidet or something like that seems very expensive. But you know what's great news?
Tell me.
Tushy is only $79.
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
It's way cheaper than I thought. I know I set you up for that, but in reality, because I have the info in front of me,
yeah.
It literally did surprise me.
And I will say I have a couple like white elephant gifts that mm-hmm. are, I have one that's $75 and one that's $100, two different sides of my family.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will actually be a great gift because
yeah.
I think it's something that actually people use.
Yeah, I think maybe people, well, maybe not L.A. people. I think people maybe in, not to be judgmental
yeah,
here.
Wow, where are parts you going
of the,
with this?
Parts of the country might be a little closed-minded at times and be like, I'm not going to have this,
I disagree.
This thing spray in my butt.
I disagree. I think everybody, I think the people, don't just judge that this two coasts, Tony. I think people in the middle of this country also want a clean butt.
Well,
because this is going to get cleaner than if you're just using paper, let's be honest.
That is true. I just want you to tell this to my family that lives in the Midwest.
Tony, please let me call them. Please let me call them. Let me call Harry Dick and just explain to him that his butthole could be cleaner.
Will you please start the call with that?
You know that I will. You know that I will. There's lots of other like accoutrements there. There's something called an ottoman, which is what lifts your legs when you go to the bathroom.
I also experienced one of those for the first time recently. Also life-changing.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
So you can go to hellotushy.com/grownup and get 10% off your order right now.
Right now.
Right now.
I don't know.
Are you going to leave right now and just go do this?
I might. Even though my laptop is in my lap, this feels like a weird thing to do in front of you.
So I think this is a great gift, and it's something that I use in my life, and I think that it's the wave of the future here.
I hope so.
All right. Well, also keep in mind, I know there's a front tushy situation on my show. This is back tushy.
Mm-hmm.
Although you slide around a little bit, hey. You might be able to front tushy it up.
Hello.
I don't know. HelloTushy.com/grownup, 10% off. All right. I remember one time we were talking. I don't know why we were talking about orgies. But you said that sometime in your life, you had had the opportunity. You had been invited to one or walked in on one, and then you didn't stay. And you sort of regretted not being part of it necessarily, but just staying and watching just to say you have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that story has stuck with me for many years.
Yeah.
What was the scenario of that again? I can't remember.
Actually, it was here in L.A.
Oh, it was?
And it was the tour of Gypsy. We were all the showgirls and the strippers and all that sort
right.
of thing.
Because you did Gypsy with Ethel Merman.
Yeah,
like
on
you on Broadway.
Yeah.
Like you, yeah. I mean, you.
Playing a stripper. And we were at a bar restaurant,
uh-huh.
and we got invited to an orgy.
How did that invitation go?
Some guys, I think they were mostly actors. Somebody knew them. I mean, it wasn't like out of the blue.
Okay.
And they just said that there was going to be an orgy. We knew this is what it was. They said enough.
Yeah.
And no one went. I mean, none of us did it, you know. But you do feel, I mean, I've never done an orgy.
Right?
So I mean, it's
neither
like
have I.
One of those things, it's not like, oh God, I want to do an orgy
right.
or anything. But it should you have done it, you know?
Would you say that it's one of your biggest regrets of your life?
No. God, no.
June Squibb, would you say not doing an orgy is the biggest regret of your entire life? But I'm with you. I feel like there are things I think back and I'm like, I should have just
done it.
Or at least gone and watched. Yeah. Although I guess that would be creepy if you were just in the corner of the room eating caramel corn as your friends and others are engaging in some. What year are we talking?
Probably 60, 61.
Okay. So this is before, like, you think of the late 60s, early 70s, people are like, you know, there's the birth control pill, people are doing drugs, people are doing orgies. This was a more legitimate orgy.
Yeah.
Not very well attended, it sounds like, because none of you guys went.
None of us went.
Do you think these guys who were like, okay, here's some hot ladies. Do you think they were just throwing it out there? And then if you guys had said yes, they were like, holy shit.
What do we do?
Now we have to throw an orgy? What do we do? What refreshments do we bring? What music? And then they would have gone into a full panic.
They might have. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know the guys.
Right.
But somebody did. I mean, they, as I said, it was not perfect strangers.
Right. It was
up.
Like friends of friends.
Yeah.
And none of your group went.
None.
God damn it. If you, we've known each other for a while now, right?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think is strange, we've done two projects together. One of them, I yelled cunt, I believe, at you. Not at you, but I said it and you hear me. And then in summer 03, Paul Scheer also yells cunt in front of you. And it's not a term I throw around often or hear very often. But it is weird to me that both things I've worked at with you.
That word
has come up. Is that a word that comes up in other jobs that you have or just exclusively to things
just
we
with
worked
you.
Together?
Just with you.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. That's fair enough. When you think in your head, like, what age do you think of yourself as? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you think
now?
Yeah. Like, do you think of yourself? Because I always feel like I'm in my mid-40s. But if I think of the first thought, I go, I'm 36. And then I go, oh, wait, no, I'm not.
I used to think I was 35.
Uh-huh.
And I did that for years.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I think when you get older, you're faced, you know, with the physicality of getting older.
Yes.
And that's something that's there with you all the time.
Yeah. But when I remember my grandma saying that, like, when she would walk by a mirror, sometimes she would be like, who is that
woman? Sometimes do that. Yeah.
Like, that's not me.
Yeah.
Because she's like, in my head, I'm my head is not at the same age, you know, as the outside.
Yeah. No, I think you do that. I think you do that. But I think as you get, you know, older, again, it's the physicality that I think keeps pulling you back to the reality.
Is there a moment in your life where you were like, oh, shit, I think I am a grown up now? And not in a bad way. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
I
like
do.
Where you go, okay.
I'll tell you, when I found out I was pregnant.
Yes.
That was truly a moment of, oh, my God, I have to grow up. I have to take care of this child when it comes.
And was that? It's all the feelings. It's the fear and excitement. And I think that's I agree with that in terms of one of those moments where you're like, whoa, we
something's got to change.
But how much have you really had to change, actually?
I don't think I changed really. I don't think that the core of who June Squibb is changed. But I think time, you know, I spent time doing things that I probably wouldn't have done without a child.
Like what?
Taking care of him.
Well, without the child, it'd be weird to take care of the child because then it would be someone else's child
and you'd
be arrested.
Child.
Yeah. You would probably be in jail for stealing a child.
I don't know. It's just that there were things I did, I know, that I wouldn't have done without the child.
Because I think that's exactly what it is when you said you didn't change who you were, you just adjust. But I think the fear is, because I get a lot of people being like, who contact me. One, people like to tell me what they put up their butt. That's the something that they like to tell me, which open for biz. Mm-hmm. I am ready to hear it. Weird sex stories. I'm like people's sex priest. And they also fear of being a mother, being a parent, being a spouse, being a grown woman, being this kind of thing. Am I going to lose who I am completely? And sort of subconsciously, what I'm hoping that this podcast does is go like, no, you shift things a little bit, but your core stays you.
I think that's true.
And if you are this like, you know, questioning, non-judgmental, open for everything woman that you'd been your whole life, having a kid, yeah, you have to adjust some things, but it's not like you suddenly turned into June
something
Cleaver.
Else. No.
Yeah.
No.
That's sort of the core of what I'm trying, you know, is just showing people like you can be 90 and still talk about buttholes and find that delightful, but also work hard to have to organize your life to get off book on a script and work and travel and all of that. But then also get together and be on set and have a good time and joke around. And like in Nebraska, when you take your pants down, did you think that was when nudity was going to enter your career?
No.
Yeah. Had you done nudity before that?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did photographic.
Okay. But not in TV or film?
No.
Okay.
Because, nor stage.
Nor stage. No. So you was this part of the romance, the covers?
That same period.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was when you were living. You were pushing. You were a lady in New York, June, coming into your own. I now, this is like my favorite June is this time in New York. But I love that that was your first time taking your pants off, right? In your career on camera was then. And what was your feeling when you did that? Were you like, this is...
I thought it was funny.
It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then don't you sit there on that day and go, this is a crazy life and I love it. Like I am on set with these amazing people. I've taken my pants down over someone's grave. Wasn't that what it was?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you pee?
That's what everybody thinks.
Okay.
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
It was actually, I didn't even take my pants down.
Oh, God.
I just lifted the skirt up.
You just lifted the skirt up. Okay.
Yeah.
And what, you were doing that as a...
To show the guy what he missed.
What he missed. That's right. That's right.
The guy who was dead and in the grave.
And in the grave.
Look what you missed.
Look what you missed. I just love that. And I just, you know, hope that... I just want everybody to be, you know... 70 whatever and to be lifting their skirts up in the middle of a cemetery. If I could have that wish for every person on this earth, then my dreams would come true. Let's take a quick break and then we'll take a caller. And we'll get more with June Squibb. I love it. Just be careful.
Hello.
Hi Laura, it's Andrea Savage.
Hey, Andrew Savage, how are you?
By the way, I wish that every time I spoke to someone in my life, that was the response. Like when I called the bank or, you know, some sort of credit card fraud issue and they were like, woo! I'm sitting here with June Squibb.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
And thank you so much for submitting your question. Now, I have been informed that when you submitted your question, you were drunk?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was in Spain. I was on vacation. I was like scrolling through the gram at the end of the night. And I was like, Andrea Savage is doing a podcast. That's amazing. I love her and podcast.
Thank you.
Oh, they want people to email. I'm in. And then I didn't even read the rest of the content to see what I was supposed to email. I just was like, yeah, sign me up.
How drunk were you? I'd love to know how many drinks in we were. And also, where were you in Spain? I did study abroad in Spain when I was in college.
Oh, did you? I was in Mallorca. I wasn't like trash. I probably had three drinks. I said a little tipsy.
Okay. I feel like
nothing.
I'm going to go with you were beyond intoxicated. That's the story that I'm going to go with.
Okay.
So
yeah,
barely holding it together. Probably already had vomited earlier in the evening, but then you did the boot and rally. And now you're emailing us. So your question, just where, first of all, where are you from?
I live in New York City, in Brooklyn.
Oh, you live in Brooklyn. Okay, great.
Yeah. Yes.
Wait, like, are you like cool Brooklyn? Like, how long have you been in Brooklyn?
I've been a very long time. I'm 34. I moved to the state with 18 and have mostly been living in like Williamsburg since that time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have you, June Squibb lived in New York for how long?
65 years.
65 years.
Oh my God.
So suck
That's
it, Laura.
A long time. Yeah.
So your life is nothing. She lived there for 65 years. So what was your question?
My question was, so you're on your show, which is like a little autobiographical to my understanding.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
It is.
You guys have like the perfect marriage, and like not because there's no problems, but you just get along, you have fun, things are funny. It seems like a good time, which is like marriage is often not depicted that way, sadly. And I love it. And it seems really fun. And I want to know, how did you know, like when you found the right person, what's your advice for picking a good partner? And how do you keep things fresh?
That's a good question, June. Do you have any advice on how to know? Because you married once, that one, not so great, but then remarried and then love of your life.
37 years.
37 years. That's so, you know, what made you know that this was going to be the person? Did you laugh together? Like,
I think that he was also brilliant.
Okay.
He was an acting teacher and he was absolutely brilliant.
Was he your acting teacher?
Yes, he was.
June Squibb, you fucked your acting teacher and then married
him? Well, not really. What happened? He was acting when I met him.
Okay.
And so later on, he was my acting teacher.
After you were already consummated.
After we were together. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, this is the oldest story. And I was going to say, Laura, don't marry your acting teacher.
Yeah.
Well, one, I will say, one, the show obviously is a fictionalized show. But so the marriage is a little more perfect, as my husband is always like, people think you are so much more delightful than you really are. He's always like, how dare you portray yourself and our relationship so delightfully? You are fine. What is your dating situation?
Oh, I'm very single. It's rough out there, Andrea Savage. It's rough.
I know.
These men today, you wouldn't even believe it. They're unreal.
Now, you said also in your letter, which I did enjoy, you've only slept with one person in their 40s, and he had very saggy balls. It freaked me out. Now, I don't know. When you say very saggy balls, I need more context, because very saggy to you might be... like,
yeah, that's why I need
a plastic bag that's like slightly crinkled, or very saggy balls could be 5 inches down. And how did it come up? Like, how did this come up? And when you say very saggy balls, give me some sort of, you know, when you like see a bug and you put like a coin next to it so you can give someone perspective in a photo.
I mean, I'd say like a few inches. It was it was unusual from the experiences I've had.
That
and
sounds
I was
like premature. How deep in his 40s was he? Like 49 or 42?
No, like early 40s. Now, I just didn't know. I didn't know if this is normal or not. Since you're a little bit older than I am, I wanted to get your expert opinion if this is just something that everyone should expect in the future.
Well, I only have the one balls in my life. To go by, because the last time I was in the ball business, I feel like all the balls were pretty high up. I don't think I ever encountered a low. Kaylin, you're looking at me like you might.
No.
No?
I've never seen balls like that.
Okay. June, I hesitate to ask, but, and I know it's been a while since you were in the ball business.
Ball business.
I feel like that's premature sagging balls, right?
Sounds like it.
Early 40s?
Yeah.
I guess there are men who have premature balding and this and that and just less elasticity.
Yeah.
Jennifer, you're the youngest person in the room. I don't know if we can hear you, but if you, yeah. Okay. Hi. So Jennifer is my assistant and she's the youngest person in the room. Now, I assume the balls you've come in contact with are relatively high.
Relatively high.
Okay.
And they tend to be Jewish balls, so I think that's like a different like area of its own.
Okay. Well, what do you think are different about Jewish balls? What? I'm married to Jewish balls, so they didn't seem that different.
I feel like they all have, you know, their own issues. They just, you know.
No.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm going to. If anybody who I've hooked up with is listening to this.
Trust me. No one's listening. Nobody's listening to this. We're just weirdos in a room. Now, Laura, I'm talking to you. The guy who had saggy balls, was the rest of everything intact? Like, was the rest of his body in decent shape?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, this was like...
So this was... something. Walk me through the first time you saw them. So what was the scenario?
Oh, I feel so bad right now. I just, you know, it's just, you just keep going. You're just like, okay,
now,
what's with this?
Did you, how many dates in was this?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay,
I
mean, first date, obviously, yeah. First date. Was this
No, this is someone I was like friends with before. So there wasn't
Okay. Wow. Now I feel like you're giving out too much information. Now they can figure out who it is.
I mean, they can figure out who it is. Otherwise. It's okay.
Okay.
It's fine.
Listen, that's not the worst thing in the world to have prematurely saggy testicles. There's way bigger issues that the world is having to go through and deal with. Now, were you in the area? Like your head was in the area, or did your hand find this out first?
No, I mean, you're looking at it, you know.
So it was visual. Okay. I got it. Okay. I think I will let you know, just as somebody, I think group in the room is saying this was an anomaly. I don't think having sex with men in their 40s, I don't think this is coming your way. I don't think this is all that you've got in your future.
That's such a relief.
I just say, like, in terms of dating, like, honestly, you're in your 30s, right?
Yeah.
When you meet the person, I feel like you're going to know very quickly, and then it's going to happen really fast. That's what I find in the 30s is, like, 20s, like, you sit there and you're like, I don't know, could this be, blah, blah, blah. And then you meet someone in your 30s, and then you're like, a month in, you're like, yep, this is it. We're done. So, you know, you just got to keep going there. And just somebody that you can talk about saggy balls with.
What if I have them?
Then,
do you address it with them, or do you just like ignore it for the rest of your life? And like, what point do you say, like, what's going on with this?
You can't be with somebody that you have to ignore something like that with, right, June?
No, I think you should say something.
I think, yeah, you see something, say something. It's like a bomb at the airport.
Yeah.
If they can't laugh about their balls, I don't think they're the person for you, because we all have weird things about our bodies that you are like, I just have to accept that I'm going to laugh about this with my partner. And this is just what it is. So I feel like I'm on board if they've got the saggy balls. They just have to have a sense of humor about them.
That's really good advice. Yeah. I think you got to be able to laugh about your saggy balls. I'm going to bestow that wisdom upon every woman who asks me for relationship advice moving forward.
Laura, thank you so much for emailing us while you were drunk.
Oh, I'll be sure to email you guys updates on the reg.
Please. Thank you. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right, June, I'm going to ask just to have two things and then see if there's anything you want to plug or tell us that we can look for you. Mm-hmm. But one, if you could brag about yourself, like something that you're like, I am great at this, or I just know that I'm really, what would you brag about yourself? I think it's important to know what to brag about yourself.
I think my work.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And is it the scope of it, the longevity, the different stuff you've done? Like, what is it you are the most proud of? Or it's the way you approach it?
I think the way I approach it and mm-hmm. the fact that I still feel it's very valid work.
Yeah. Okay. What about something you feel you need to work on? What's something that you're like, I'm not great at this. I'd still love
to
work on.
Accents.
Really?
I'm not great at accents.
That's surprising to me. If you had asked me, I'd have been like, June Squibb probably is master at accents.
Really? Yeah, people think that. And they say things to me like, just do an Italian or just do... And I'm like, what? I don't...
But so how do you attack it?
I have to study it.
Okay.
I can do the most of them, but I have to study
it. Can you give us a couple accents?
No.
All right. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. People can find you on social media. I think I know we have.
Facebook.
On Facebook. Also also Twitter.
I didn't know that.
Oh, well, someone's impersonating you.
No, it is. Yes.
What
friend
is it?
Of mine.
It's, yeah. Oh, someone posts it for you.
Yeah.
It's great. And it has a couple like throwback photos of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's, yes, I do know about that.
At Real June Squibb. I'm so happy you were here. Thank you so much for coming and doing this.
It's been fun. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And I hope I get to see you soon.
Yeah.
Thanks, June.
Thank you.
God damn, I love that June Squibb.
Mm-hmm. I'm sad I wasn't here for that.
I know you were sad you weren't here for that. We've already addressed that.
Yeah, but I want to make sure.
But you've heard
no
it.
One is, you think I listened to the whole thing?
You just go from one note to the next note?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dick.
Thank you.
Tony, we are coming upon our dinner soon.
Yeah.
That we're going to spend together.
That's what I hear, but there's been no planning just yet.
Well,
but,
we're picking a date today.
Okay.
And we're going to have it, and then we're going to report back.
Okay. Is this going to be like a holiday dinner?
Yeah.
Is that how we're thinking of it?
I think it's like a holiday dinner.
A work dinner?
No, it's a get-to-know-you dinner.
All right. All right.
Yeah. It's a work party with just the two of us.
Right? I mean, we are the two, so.
Ugh, creepy.
It's not, wait, we're not inviting every guest that's been on the show also?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mila's coming.
Perfect.
Ham.
Yeah.
Squibb.
Eisen. I just want to say a name in that voice.
I look forward to it, and I look forward to seeing if we can make it through a meal. What if we sit there just silently or just so polite? What if it's just very polite? I'll kill myself. I'll stab myself in the throat.
That'll give me a real good talking point for the next episode when I take over the show.
Are you going to keep hashtag buttholes?
No, that's first thing to go, besides you.
I was going to say, I'm the first thing to go. Tony.
Yes.
We're going to play two truths and a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Just to switch it up.
Yes.
This could be terrible.
Could be.
I'm going to guess yours aren't great.
Yeah, because I'm going to be honest with you. You did email me about this last night.
Uh-huh.
Saw you had emailed me, but it was some notes about a future editing up. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm not doing that right now. So I'm going to keep that email fresh. And then I didn't know you had other notes in there. So I didn't know this was happening until I got here.
This is how I check to see if you read my emails. I hide little notes deeper in.
Brilliant.
You fucking failed. All right. Do you want to go first? Speed will be your friend.
Okay. All right. So I will say I am allergic to every type of tree.
Okay. Okay. I'm staring at Tony in a really uncomfortable way to get tells.
I mean, eye contact is our specialty.
This is what we're known for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're allergic to every kind of tree.
Yes.
Okay.
Am I moving? Am
yeah,
I just
you give
going
all
through
three.
The? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was at Vern Troyer's high school graduation.
How old was Vern Troyer? Okay. Okay.
I once threw up on stage during a Motion City soundtrack show.
You're trying to give me like weirdo eye contact, which is actually in poker a tell that you're trying to act more aggressive, which usually means that you're weak.
Well, I can confirm that.
All right. I am going to go with Vern Troyer. I believe that you could have easily puked on stage during one of your shows, and you seem like the kind of person that would be allergic to every tree.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you think Vern Troyer is the lie?
I believe Vern Troyer is the lie.
Andrea, you are wrong.
Ah, fuck. Do I get a second chance?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, every tree.
Yeah.
What does that mean, every tree? What about a plant?
Plants aren't trees, are they?
Well, some of them I feel like are vague. The apple tree would fall under tree.
Sure. Well, I'm not supposed to sit under it. I know that.
Okay, I have to go. honestly, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is thank you so much for all your help show. This is a disaster. All right, which is the lie?
The lie is I never threw up on stage.
Really?
Yeah.
Will you? Can I get you to throw up on stage?
I mean,
have you ever been close to throwing up on stage?
No, I don't think so.
Are you a throw up kind of person?
Oh yeah, I've got lots of crazy throw up stories.
You know, I don't throw up
ever.
No.
How is this possible? I've heard other people claim this.
I don't have whatever it is that makes your body. I would like to throw up at times. I don't have it. And my daughter doesn't have it either. She's never thrown up. She threw up once as a baby and then once when she was like three. And that's it. We don't throw up. It's not great.
No.
I don't think it's good.
I mean, throwing up is terrible, but also it tends to make you feel better.
Well, it's something your body does to protect itself. Mm-hmm. I don't have that protection. You went to Vern Troyer's high school graduation. When did he graduate high school? At like 40?
This probably would have been like mid, late 80s.
Okay. Why did you know Vern Troyer? Why
I didn't, but he went to high school with my cousin.
This is okay. Okay.
And and it's one of those things, like I was there and I somewhat remember this. And then like years later, someone in my family said something about, like, remember being at Steph's graduation? I was like, wait, that? Oh, yeah.
That's so weird. Yeah. That's so funny. That's like my brother once peed next to Michael Jackson. but like in the 80s, he was in elementary school. And I think one of the Jacksons went to school there. And there was like some play or some graduation or something. And they both were in the bathroom at the same time. If I could go back in time. I have so many questions now. Yeah. I didn't have the words back then. He was my older brother, and I don't think he was paying attention. But now, I would be like, all right, let's break this down.
Yeah.
I need to know everything.
I know.
All right, so I lost.
Yeah.
What we're saying is I lost. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. I once spent a day with the KKK. I once spent a morning with George W. Bush.
Okay.
My great-grandfather was killed by his brother.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going quick because I have this is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one I already forgot what it is now, but I remember thinking.
I once spent a day with the KKK.
Okay, which sounds outrageous, but I think it's been years since I've watched, but I have a feeling this was something from Dog Bites Man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right.
So I'm thinking that's real.
Okay, interesting.
Whereas I could see the George W. Bush thing also falling into that, but I think that one is the lie.
Fuck you. God damn it. First of all, the KKK one never aired.
Oh.
That's the legendary episode. I say legendary for only the four people that care. On Dog Bites Man that never aired. There was our lost episode that we did not air where we spent a day with the KKK and it was the scariest fucking day of my entire life. And it was like a week before my wedding and we had all these bits we were supposed to do and we all got there. We were supposed to have security. There was none. And it was Zach Galifianakis and Matt Walsh, 80 Miles and myself. And we were like, no, we're not doing any of these bits. No. We're in the middle of the fucking like woods. And it was like a festival they were having. And we were supposed to, our bit was that we thought we were going to a freedom family fair or something to cover it for the fictional news team.
Yeah.
And then we get there and we slowly realize it's the KKK. So we have all this stuff we're supposed to do. And we got there. It was so fucking scary. We did nothing. We were like, we're going to just talk to the head grand wizard and do a very straight interview and bye-bye. It was terrifying. It was right before my wedding and I was like, I'm not dying for this goddamn show.
No.
Right before I'm getting married.
Yeah. That is insane.
Yeah. I've never seen the footage of it.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. I was like, was anything done with it? Just
My guess is there was an assembly. There was probably a rough cut done, but I've never seen it. It was so scary. The
only good news
I will say is it was so ill attended that it did make me feel like, you know what? It's not thriving. That was the only good news, but it was scary as fuck.
It's that type of thing that I just, it's like, it's,
yeah.
I can't believe it's a thing that actually exists.
Yeah.
And to imagine being in the presence of, I can't.
It was insanity. My great-grandfather was killed by his brother before my grandfather was born.
Wait.
So my grandfather.
Say that again.
Yeah. My great-grandfather was killed before my grandfather was born.
Okay. Got it.
So between the 9 months where he put it in my great grandma and my grandpa was born, he was killed by his brother in like a duel of some sort in Greece.
A duel.
Yeah. And then my great grandmother answered a bride ad to the United States, left my grandfather in Greece because she didn't tell the guy she was marrying in the US that she had a kid, got there, had a kid with him, then was like, oh, by the way, I have this other kid back in Greece. Sent for him. He went by himself at 4 years old from Greece to America.
Wow.
Yeah. This is so crazy because I feel like this is how like everyone's stories like in this country going back like two generations go. Now it's like, yeah, they met on fucking Instagram.
Uh-huh.
It's a whole different ballgame. And I've never spent a morning with George Dubs.
Yeah.
You put that through very well. It wasn't my best.
Hey.
You win. You're great, it's Tony. Not,
I appreciate you saying that. It's true. But, you know, that wasn't the point here.
Wasn't it? God damn it. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will let you know how our holiday dinner goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I stop saying uh-huh and let's just end this.
You started it.
I know, but I was trying to get you out of whatever you were about to do.
Hmm.
All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.